Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Deep Dive. Today, we bring to you part two of our discussion on Soma, a science fiction survival horror game from Frictional Games. It was directed by Thomas Gripp, written by Mikkel Hedberg, and with music composed by Miko Tarmia. Our guest today is Chris Wilson, design director at game dev studio Cardboard Sword, and previously with Frontier Developments and Playground Games, working on series like Forza Horizon. If you have not listened to part one, I would definitely recommend doing that, since we're about to dive right back into the middle of the conversation, with one of my favorite parts of the game, actually. And of course, if you have not played the game, we recommend that you do so, because we are going to dive deep, and in the abyss, there be spoilers. Without further ado, let's descend.
One of the other big ones, maybe you remember more of like exactly how the plot point's delivered. I don't exactly. You have to... So let's remember this. Catherine needs to transfer you over to another body, basically.
Yes. Your current one... God, you're going to bring up like my favorite part in the game.
Yeah, so she transfers you over to another body because your one isn't suitable.
Yeah.
And I really like
it's
all
the,
this because it really drives it home,
that
right?
That takes you into the abyss. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's like they make you go around and collect all the weird gooey bits that make another you. So you just look at all this junk... And you stick it all together, and she's like, okay, it's ready. And then, she this is the thing, she kind of knows what he's like, right? She's learnt Simon, and she's talking about transfer. Yeah, we're going to transfer you over. Yeah, it's going to be you. Then we're going to carry on. And then, so, yeah, you sit down in the chair or whatever it is, and you wake up, and you're new Simon, Simon 3 by now, I guess. And you wake up, and then Simon looks over, and there's the old body.
Oh,
and he's like, so, you know, what's this now?
Sorry about any discomfort. This should be a routine.
It's like having a picture taken.
But with the most expensive camera in the world.
You know, Indians thought photos would steal their souls.
In this case, they'd be right.
There must be something wrong. Can't you run a diagnosis or something?
What was that?
No, it's just...
Why was it still talking?
It's the same like before.
Catherine, why was he still talking?
That's how it works, you know that.
What do you mean?
You know it's not magic. You were copied. The sleeping Simon in the seat was copied, and now you are here, just like Simon lived on in Toronto.
God damn you, Kath. Two Simons? There can't be two Simons.
What did you think would happen?
That you were going to take my mind and put it into another body, like a brain transplant.
I'm sorry, it wouldn't work that way.
You realize how messed up this is?
Please, I didn't mean to upset.
How did you expect me to react to this shit?
Please stop.
You're fucking disgusting.
And again,
there must have been a malfunction, I think he says. Like, there's something wrong. Can you run diagnostics or something? Sorry, that scene just, like, that haunts
me.
No,
totally.
So that's, like, that was my favorite part of the game, for sure.
That sounds like it. And again, hey, you know, it's up for debate whether, again, Simon is just very dense, or if he's like, I do really know what that is, but I'm begging for another answer that isn't that.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, it's revealed that, oh, no, there's no such thing, right? You are... Yeah. You know, I can only copy you, and I've copied you, and that other one...
So now there are two of you.
Yeah, it's like, that one's going to wake up, or not, if you don't want it to.
What's going to happen to him?
He'll sleep for a while, a few days.
And then what? Wake up in this fucking nightmare again? All alone? That's so cruel.
Well, what do you want me to do with him? Make friends? Let him know that we have to leave him behind when we go into the abyss?
What if he didn't need to wake up?
You do that?
I don't know. Maybe.
There. I set it up for you. Hit the switch if you want to drain his battery. He'll die within a minute. I'd rather not stay plugged in any longer.
And that's... Yeah, again, the first time I played it, I it's just how I felt at the time. I was just like, don't think about it. Turn it off. Nope. I'm me. Don't think about it for too long, turned it off, left it, and now you'd be like, yeah, well, it's as me as I am, so yeah, it's all very difficult. And again, that's why it works so well, because it never, I mean, this is a, you know, it's slightly unfair, but an extreme example, it's not like you know, classic Mass Effect where you're going to get a good or a bad answer and the game goes, good job, plus 10 good points. It's like,
exactly,
this is on you, and neither answer is correct.
Gosh, I wish that This is totally random, but I wish that Mass Effect hadn't done Paragon and Renegade. Call it something else. Use different colors. Don't do good or bad. I love my gray area,
yeah,
you know?
It's very hard. I mean, you know, those games were a lot of fun, and so were the Knights of the Republic one, but they did, yeah. It did end up being, you know, well, actually, it's end up being, it'd been for a long time where it's like, you know, you meet some poor person. It's like the two options are murder them and their whole family and set them on fire, or give them all your money. And you're like, maybe not those things. But so that's why this is so great. It doesn't have any of that. It's all just, you know, weighs on you. And yeah, I think all that stuff is, you know, it's really well done, because it doesn't feel labored and nothing, you know. Again, Catherine doesn't, well, not that she doesn't care, she's kind of, you know, she's got her plan, so she's like, yeah, you know, do whatever you want, it doesn't bother me. And I think that's all, you know, I think that's all really interesting.
I think I'm trying to remember in that scene when you kind of wake up really and you realize that only copies are made, mm-hmm. do you realize in that moment that you're not the original, like, first Simon that got up in the chair? Because I know that there's one moment where you realize that you've already been caught. This has already happened to you once before, mm-hmm. other than if you've died in the game. Because if you've died, you go, holy crap, this is just, I'm just, you know, I've died this many times and I'm a new copy each mm-hmm. time. I don't know if you remember. Do you remember?
I don't. But it's, yeah. So is that...
That's okay.
I never thought that as well, because I don't know if there is like a canon answer to this, but when you were attacked by the enemies, I hadn't considered that maybe it could be something like that.
Oh, yeah, that's what I thought immediately when so I guess that's why I love this scene so much in the game, mm-hmm. because I hesitated. I was so scared to go into there because I knew that I was basically creating a second copy of myself. Mm-hmm. And luckily I played the game while I was streaming it, so I was able to have a dialogue. So my playthrough was pretty long, but we would sit and talk for maybe 20 minutes during that part about what makes a person, you know, a person, and, you know, are you the same person or are you somebody new the moment you're copied? And I feel the same way about clones. Like if I were to be cloned, you know, we're both two different people the moment the cloning starts, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. So we had a discussion about that, but I think in that very moment I realized, you know, when the switch happened, I said, wow, you know, we've died a couple of times already, so we're a new copy each time.
Interesting.
Because Catherine wants to succeed, right? So...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's interesting. I hadn't thought that. I don't think there's anything one way or the other that, you know, mm-hmm. you know, I think it is open to interpretation. I'll be honest, I hadn't thought about that much.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think that's perfectly reasonable to be considered that way, because yeah, there's a lot of stuff like that. I mean, mm-hmm. yeah, you meet so many people. I think it's just, yeah, I think again, there's so many that are great where you just meet all these people. And it, in fact, and if you remember, again, quite early on, there's this other woman, mostly human, hooked up to a bunch of stuff that you
Amy.
Need to unplug.
Hey, are you...
Don't hurt me!
Can I help?
It won't let me die. Nothing is allowed to die.
What happened?
An accident. Fixing the power. I was going to Theta.
Anything I can do?
If you see Masters or Holland, tell them I need help, okay? Amy needs help.
Yeah, and she's just like, it won't let me die. And you're like,
Can I ask you what you did there?
Yeah, again, I think I just unplugged them all, because I was like, you don't seem super happy about this, and I don't seem super happy about this, so let's just unplug you. And the second time I noticed that you don't have to, right? You can half unplug it and it's fine.
Yeah. And not only do you not have to, but she very specifically asks you not to.
Yeah.
So I did the same thing. My first playthrough, I was like, man, this is a horrible way to live. And I killed her. And then I think somebody in the chat said, yeah, but she specifically asks you not to. And you
really
decided that's not how. Yeah. Mm. She says, oh, please don't hurt me. She says the first thing she says to you is don't hurt me. And then she says, if you find somebody, tell them Amy needs help. You know, she does say it won't let me die. It won't let anything die. But she very much does not want to die. And I definitely put my own desire onto her. You know, I kind of said, well, I wouldn't want to live that way, so I unplugged her, and I regretted that. That was a big regret that I had throughout the game.
Well, maybe I shouldn't have done that. Yeah, I think with a lot of these things, again, who knows how well it would transfer into my real life. I think I do tend to subscribe to, like, you know, if you're in a high pressure situation and you can think of two things to do, probably doing one quickly is better than, you know, agonizing over two endlessly and then probably doing neither. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But this is obviously a very extreme example, but there's certainly situations in life where I'm like, you know, maybe option two would have been 5% better, but not the amount of time it would have taken me to reach that decision. So, and yeah, I think that, again, like, I don't think they nudge it too hard, but I think they encourage you to make a decision you'll regret. Because she looks horrific, absolutely. And her first line isn't very nice. And then, yeah, I mean, actually, thinking about it, it's the same with all of them, right? Like, well, for me at least, I come to my conclusion, like, I think again of the other woman who's just, you think she's in the ark floating around at the bottom of the thing.
Yeah.
And I hear her speak, and then instantly I'm like, well, I have to make this stop. And then you start to unplug it, and she's like, no. And then I'm like, no, come on. I made the decision. I'm going to stick with it. And they really make you, you know, want to undo that. The same the first time through with the person you mentioned earlier, like Carl, if you take the easier option and you just leave him frying forever, and the voice actor earned his money, because it's horrible. Yeah. It's horrible. And
it's
he's
horrific.
Got loads as well. I remember one time, okay, this is a game designer thing, I hope, not a psycho thing. One time I was like, I was just like, how much of this do you have? Like, how much dialogue do you have? And I just left him there screaming for quite a while. There's a lot. There is a lot of unique screaming noises, and
really,
yeah, eventually he stops being able to talk, and it's more just like, you know, just sort of I'm nearly dead noises, but he screams and shouts for a long time.
I couldn't listen. I felt again,
I
thought I think in that scene they're crossed or something, or you think you're helping and you accidentally unplug the wrong one and you kill him. So that's what happened to me. I thought I was helping and I didn't help him, and I was horrified by that.
The only thing I didn't like about that, and I can't decide if it was deliberate or maybe not, but obviously to really try and ram it into your head what's going on, the flesh and blood Carl who's dead is like one room away.
Yes.
And you can't go back to the robo Carl and be like, by the way, totally saw your body over there. But it wouldn't really change anything, but it stuck out to me. I was like, why can't I just say, I just saw you, just there?
Yeah.
But you can't. But all of that stuff is, yeah, it's all really well done.
I wonder if, and this is just a random question, I guess, because you're a game dev, would you, as a player or even as a game dev, would you have preferred he have some sort of dialogue when he sees the body to be like, I can't tell him, he doesn't realize, just so we can see Simon's thought process? Or...
It feels slightly odd that there is no reaction to it.
Yeah, because I had the same thought. So, but I didn't think, I couldn't think of a solution as to, you know, what would be done so that I felt closure there.
Hey, you never know. It's just one of those things. It could have been like at some point his body was further away, or maybe it wasn't there and people didn't get it, or...
Yeah.
All sorts
you
of things.
You risk people not getting it, yeah.
Though I suspect it's all intentional, right? Because if you do it again, I don't know, but feels like the more likely route where you do leave him frying there forever, I think it adds this extra weight to it that you use his code to unlock the machine, and you're like, yep, I'm using that dead guy's code to turn this thing on to fry essentially him forever.
Him, yeah.
So yeah, you know, and that's the thing, right? If you leave it there in that situation, obviously until you come right to the end of the game, again, in reality, no, but in your head, he's there forever doing that.
Yeah.
And you don't
unless
feel great
you kill
about
the wow, right?
Mm.
So later in the game, they give you the option to, I think Ross sends you down into the abyss, and he says, you know, please, you have to kill this. Mm-hmm. But I don't think you have to. I think you have the option of letting it live. But essentially, if you kill it, you're removing what's keeping everything alive forever. So you're knowing that when you finally shoot off the rocket into the abyss, you will eventually die. And, you know, abyss version, or sorry, into space, space version of you on the Ark will live on, and you will eventually die. But if you let it live, you're going to be stuck just like the rest of them. You're basically dooming yourself to be Amy or to be Carl, where you live forever in a warped version, which I found interesting.
Yeah, I think so. I will admit I'm a bit hazier on that side of the plot. I felt like, I didn't feel it was not good.
It could have been taken.
But I felt like all
opinion.
The Ross stuff and everything was a bit weaker.
Yeah.
It didn't stick with me as much. But yeah, like I remember if you choose to do it, right, the wow chops your hand off, right? You don't get it back.
Yeah.
And I think if you do, if you don't do it, you keep your hand, but it's basically the same.
Yeah.
And it does remind me of something, which, again, like, it's just low-key in there that I really like. All the little, little undersea walking around bits. The background thing I really like about that is, like, apart from, obviously, the mutated robots, all the, sea life doesn't care. It's the same. Like,
I know.
So I just love the way it's like, all the humans are dead, and they're like, yeah, we don't care. Life goes on.
Yeah.
And that's quite, you know, because humans love to think they're important, you know.
Yes.
And they're not.
Yes, we do.
So, yeah, I like that. Again, it's, you know, totally background, but I just like the way that it's like, obviously there are some mutated examples, but mostly they're just the same. They're not bothered. And I love all the little robots out there as well, like the ones that have a kind of like half an intelligence. Like, they're doing that thing where, like, you know, when you don't know what to say to someone, but you're just kind of saying like a throwaway phrase, they're just constantly spouting that. And you're like, it's pretending to be smart.
They're trapped in a simulation, right? So that's how I took it. All the robots that are like roaming around saying certain phrases, they're like ghosts in a machine. They're basically either a human that is constantly in a loop of a simulation that the WoW creates so that there's what they think they are seeing is real. At least that's how I took it. And then he just keeps them in that loop forever and ever so that it can keep them alive.
Yeah, there's a bunch of different ones, right? Like, there's the little ones, which I think in the normal version that do attack you, but they're just kind of desperate for the structured gel stuff, and they're just really sad, and they're just looking for it, and they're going, you know, have you got any? It's like, oh, I can't wait to meet you and stuff that. And of them, in fact, again, they do this deliberately. Do you remember, like, Catherine just goes, oh, we need one of those chips. Can you just go bash that robot over the head and steal it?
Yes, I had a very hard time with that.
Yeah, and he...
Because he makes horrific sounds, I think.
Yeah, he makes really horrible sounds and really like sputters away. But the other thing as well that he does is, if you listen to what he's saying, he doesn't think like that he is that robot, you know, he's not like the others.
Know.
But actually he thinks he's somewhere else piloting it. He just thinks everything's fine.
Yeah.
Which is even worse.
Yeah. And that's definitely, at least I definitely took that to be the WoW is, that is a real person that the WoW put in a simulation of them piloting something.
Yeah,
so they have no idea where they are. And so I felt like I was killing a person, not a robot. So I found that a huge struggle. Can I ask you, do you remember Sarah?
Remind me.
She's the last human. She's the last
the
human
very
left
last
alive.
Human.
Yep.
Oh, man.
And you find her in this room and she's, you know, kind of keeping herself alive, I think out of obligation. I don't think it's really clear as to why she's keeping herself alive, but she's got IVs and stuff and she's basically, you know, bound to this chair.
She's, am I right in thinking she's the only person who asks you to kill her, I think.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, yeah. And I found that very troublesome because up until that moment I had been saying over and over again, you know, I shouldn't be making these decisions. They didn't ask for it. Like, I felt horribly guilty about Amy because when I realized she didn't ask me and I just kind of decided what I would want, it sat with me for the rest of the game. And then we reach Sarah, who basically says, you know, I want to die. You know, this sucks. I don't want to live like this.
Are you human?
Sarah Lindwall, payload technician at your service. A rare sight, am I right?
I'd say so. You're the first normal living human I've seen.
There's not many left down here. I'm the only living person you've met. You mean I'm the last living human on the planet?
I'm sorry. Can I get you anything? Do anything for you?
You could kill me.
Good one. You serious about me killing you?
No, I'd love to hang around here until I dry up to the size of a raisin. Simon, this fucking sucks. I don't want to live like this. If I knew you'd come, I would clean this place up a little bit.
Shouldn't we be doing something to keep you alive?
Good to get this over with.
None of this feels right.
Simon, I want to die.
And then we say, but shouldn't we try to fight this? Because you are the last of us. Mm-hmm. You're the last human left alive, and I feel terrible, you know, purposely killing you. And you can leave her there or you can choose to end her life as she asks you to do. Mm-hmm. So what did you do with Sarah? Did you end her life for her?
Yeah, I did. I mean, that still wasn't easy, but it was easier because I'm like, well, yeah, you've had time to think about this. You seem in clear conscience and everything. And yeah, again, like you look at it and you go, okay, I'm the last human, but it's basically over, isn't it? We had a good run.
Yeah, like, right.
You know, like, humanity in its normal format. So, yeah, no, it wasn't easy, but it was easier. Yeah.
I thought it was interesting because it presented kind of, the game does a lot presenting duty and kind of just like this higher obligation, the greater good from a negative standpoint, where Simon is, you know, kind of sacrificed for the greater good or everybody else that you're meeting is sacrificed for the sake of humanity. And then all of a sudden you meet Sarah and it switches that perspective for you where it's like, yeah, this is for the greater good, but do we have to at the expense of what somebody wants, what they truly desire? And then you can make the other choice, which is, you know, letting her go so that, you know, she can still have what she wants. She's still a human with, you know, desires and needs, and, you know, her, that's important. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was a very important part of the game that if they left out, it would have been okay, I think, story-wise, but I thought it added to the game. Especially, she has a line there where if you do decide to kill her, she asks you to stay with her until she passes.
Yeah,
and then she says, at least I won't have to turn 30. Huh? And it just bothered me. I just felt like Soma was such a sad story, and like, oh, it was good. It was so good.
Making the best of that situation. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I thought all that stuff was really good. And as I said, the game never tells you that you're right or wrong, which makes it much more powerful because I think it's interesting. Yeah. I think, I honestly can't remember which one, but I remember this came up one of these other podcasts where you get people who like, if you're presented with a choice and then after the choice happens, like nothing changes in the game or whatever, then it was worthless. You know, oh, what's the point? Like, it didn't do anything. It's like, no, it did something.
I never understood
because
that.
I can't help myself from reading it. It goes on in your head. Yeah. That's the only part that matters. You think about it and you're like, I chose to make that decision. So even if the game, again, in a sort of very traditional gameplay way, doesn't do anything with it,
yeah,
that's fine. And they have a very overt example of that. Do you remember there's a little like questionnaire for the arc where it asks you a bunch of questions?
Yes.
And I remember seeing it the first time. I don't remember them. I should have written them down. But they're generally you know, it's like, oh, you know, do you feel like, you know, do you still feel human? Do you like this? And you have options that are like, yeah, it's fine, all the way down to like, no, this is horrible. And the last question is something like, if you're aware of this situation, you know, would you prefer death? And the first time you see it, it's lying around in Catherine's office. And I don't know about you, but you kind of click through it and go, huh, yeah, I hit these options. I wonder if they do anything. And of course they don't, but the point is you don't see it again, and this is the only defense of the little arc scene at the end, because it shows you it again and you read them again and you're like, huh, I feel differently about these now.
Yeah.
And that's quite cool. I quite like that it's you that changes, right? The game's like, no, I'm always going to show you these things, but after going through all that and choosing to kill a bunch of people and then killing someone, well, potentially killing someone who asked you to be killed, and yada yada yada, and then it goes, okay, well, you know, this is fake, do you want it? And you kind of go, I don't know,
the red pill or the blue pill.
And obviously it predates this, but it reminded me a lot of the episode of Black Mirror, Sanji Lapero.
Which
is great.
Oh my god, I love that episode,
because I'll be honest, like, so Black Mirror is an interesting one, like, because Charlie Brooker, like the main writer, he used to write for a lot of PC gaming magazines and stuff like that. And I guess the thing is, like, hey, look, I'm not going to say I'm exactly the same as him, but certainly a lot of our influences are similar. So I can kind of sort of track the way he thinks, if that makes sense. So a lot of Black Mirror, like, whenever I watch a lot of them, particularly not the last series because I kind of gave up, but the series with Sanji Lapero in it, all the other ones in it, I was like, these are technically, you know, they're very well delivered, you know, execution is fantastic, etc., etc., but I just don't care. Like, I didn't find any of them interesting at all, except this one, where I'm not going to lie, like, all of the others, like, they're just relentlessly horrific, but I just kind of bounced off them, whereas Sanji Lapero, I was crying my eyes out completely unexpectedly because I was just like, not only obviously is there such a powerful story in it and all the rest of it, but I also kind of think that's what's going to happen. I might not live long enough, but I'm like, yeah, I kind of feel that's the way things will end up. And then you do have that area, right, where it's like, okay, well, you know, this isn't real. Do you want to not be anymore?
Yeah.
No one wants to talk about it, right? But you don't, well, I don't know. Again, I imagine everyone feels differently, but obviously yeah. I don't spend a lot of time thinking about that. But I also, in the very back of my head, kind of do have this feeling that, well, if I'm lucky enough to die of old age or whatever, that probably I'll be cool with it. You know, I mean, I'll be like, yeah, okay.
At that time, I'll be ready.
At that time.
But now I'm not.
I'll be ready. Exactly. But yeah. I wouldn't want to be presented with the option, right? It's like, oh, you can live forever and be fine, or not. And you're like, I don't know.
What do you think you would choose if you were asked today?
Oh, I don't know. I really don't want to do that. My dream situation would be, I have thought about this a little bit, actually, is that, okay, imagine this, right?
So it turns out.
Right, so I've already died or whatever, but the best thing to do would be able to go, you could look back through your whole life and you go, right, about there. Like, I just get hit by a bus or something.
What? Really?
Not exactly, but yeah, I'd rather there is an endpoint, and it's a predetermined endpoint,
yeah.
but the current me can't decide it. It has to be the post me who's like, yep, okay,
yeah,
I figured it out. This seems about right.
This was where I was happiest. Just end it while I'm happiest. Is that where you would end it, when you were happiest, or?
I don't know, probably ballpark. That's probably a good place to start and figure it out from. But
sorry, these are really personal questions.
No,
I'm super curious.
I mean, we're in this area, so you can't dodge around it.
Yeah.
So I'm quite lucky in, you know, as lucky as anyone gets with these things, that in my family on both sides, it seems like, you know, going by my grandparents and stuff like that, I will keep my mind. You know what I mean? Because that's the worst in my extended family.
Yeah.
Don't know as well, but you know, you get people who they've gone a long time before their body goes. That is the worst thing imaginable. But yeah, still, that's the thing. That's the only thing I cling on to. It's like, well, hopefully, two best options for me. I can't believe I'm saying this. Whatever. Two best things for me are, I don't see it coming, or I'm at an age or whatever where I'm like, yeah, okay, you know, I've had a good run. Anything in between that is not so good. Like the only one that I don't dwell on, but it does genuinely cross my mind every time. So I'm not so much at the moment, but most of the time I ride a motorbike quite a lot. And I'm like, if I'm going to have an accident, I really should die. I don't want to be horrifically injured.
Yeah.
And I do think about it, not a lot, but it does cross my mind where I'm like, those are the two options, really. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you know, stuff
that might change, though.
Perhaps.
The accident were to happen, that might change. I mean, everybody has to go through a moment of, you know, saying,
I'm sure,
well, this is my life now, but I don't know if you'd want to.
Oh, definitely. I'm sure if I was sat there, broken legs or whatever, and someone goes, well, you said you didn't want this, so I'm just going to flip the switch.
Yeah.
You'd be like, let's hold
You'd be
up
like, no, and please don't hurt me. Just get help.
Right.
Just like it's so much.
Exactly. Yeah. I think the thing is, bring it back towards the game stuff, is that I think it's not heavy-handed about this stuff. It's obviously in that area and makes you think about these things, but it's not like, you know, it doesn't force you to murder a bunch of people then go, now feel bad, you should feel bad about this. It just kind of goes, well,
you did that,
you know, you did that. Mm-hmm. Literally every human, you know, nearly every human in the entire world is dead, so no one's judging you, but you did it. So
you're judging yourself.
Yeah,
you're feeling guilty after, or maybe you aren't,
right?
But,
exactly. I mean,
just to let you know that you're not alone, I have also thought about the ways in which I want to die and whether or not I would like to continue after certain things. So, I've made it very clear to my family that if I'm a vegetable, you pull that plug like tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be around waiting around to see if maybe there's a chance.
Yeah.
I just think, you know, especially if you live in a country where, you know, medical bills and stuff like that, just like,
until
leaving people who are alive with debt,
entire,
I don't want that.
Country burns to the ground in about 6 months' time, Brexit time. That admittedly is something I've never had to think about it. On that note, actually, won't get too political about it, but it's a crazy thing that you know, I quit my job and went independent. That never crossed my mind. Like, if I get sick, all right, that's fine.
I live it, so it's weird because I grew up in the U.S. Well, I grew up in Japan, but then I moved to the U.S. for the most of my young adult life.
Okay.
And then now I live in Canada, where the healthcare is free. Yeah. And it's just the mental shift in a really strange way is I find that people here care more about your health, even in the work environment. So if you're not feeling well, they're like, what are you doing here? Go home. Whereas in the States, you needed a doctor's note basically to prove that you were dying or you're expected to be at work.
I find that really interesting because I found that I've always had it. I think it's more of a European attitude to these things because, for example, like when I did used to work another place, if I got a cold, even if I felt mostly fine, but I'm sneezing a bit, I stay home because I'm just going to infect everyone else and feel a bit crummy. But most people, most British people, it's like, oh, no, I mustn't complain. Oh, no, I couldn't possibly do that. Oh, what are you doing? Taking time off work. And then they come in, sneeze over everyone. And then
everybody else
and
gets sick.
And it rolls through. And some of them were, not like shocked, but a few of my friends were quite taken aback. I'm like, hell no. Like, if even if I've got a little, there is a limit, obviously. But even if it's just a little sniffle, I'm like, I'm staying home. Like, it's for longer term. That's better for everyone, myself included. Yeah, that's weird.
It's wild. Yeah, it's wild. And a couple of times I've had to get out of that. The US mentality of like my arm has to be off before I go into the doctor.
Right?
Because A, it's either going to be expensive or not only is it going to be expensive, but you're also not paid for that day that you're not at work. So it's just kind of like this, it's just this crazy thing where it's like, I basically have to be on death's door before I go in. Mm. Whereas here people are like, oh, you don't feel well. It's for peace of mind. Go to the ER, go wherever. And I'm like, ER is literally for emergencies. My arm should be hanging off my body. So I just think that that's very interesting.
I've definitely had stuff like that. That's interesting. Is that any part of the reason why you moved there?
Not really, but it's been a bonus. And now I wouldn't go back, actually. So a couple of opportunities have been presented where I could potentially go back to the US, and that is the first thing that comes to mind. Yeah. Oh, but I don't want to lose that healthcare.
No,
it's just nice not to have to worry.
Because for me as well, like not currently, but before and potentially after, I was like, there are opportunities in America, but I'm like, I think for me, and I realize this isn't everywhere, but the combination of like healthcare and I forget what it's called. Is it something like at will employment where they can just be like, I don't want you for no reason.
Yep.
Bye.
Yep.
I'm just like, nope, don't, not worth it.
Not worth it. Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, it is very interesting. Got another question for you. Would you put yourself on the ARC?
Yeah, I don't know. It is very difficult because again, like I think like their version of the version presented in the game of the ARC is it's a little underdeveloped, but that's fine. I don't think it matters too much. But
so, or the singularity.
But I'm saying it's like actually it really hit me pretty heavily, the stuff in San Junipero, because I'm like, actually, like, if I could go to my favorite nightclub forever, would I do that? And, if I want, I can kind of keep it, I can keep riding up with, 80s, 90s or whatever, or I could just stay in one place forever. Or would I go mad?
Why time travel when you can simulate?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But then the stuff with that, and again, it's not the focus of the Black Mirror episode, but I thought it was interesting they touch on it, is, they very briefly, they like encounter these people who are a bit sort of deranged and stuff. And they're like, I think it's basically implied that they're like the people who've kind of, that little switch has flipped and they've just gone full on, hedonist. They're just like, well, I can do whatever I want. And I'll be honest, part of me wonders, like,
kind of Westworld.
I suppose. Part of me, that's kind of
that's gamers, right?
Maybe. I mean, so I think that's definitely sort of the critique that Westworld makes, right? It's like, if you could do anything, would everyone be pretty horrible?
But they are. But I see. I think that's what I find so fascinating about the idea of either the singularity or Westworld or any of that is that I personally will go through a game and I will try to play it as if it were me, and I feel guilty making, killing robots or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then there are my friends who will just go through the game and do whatever just to see what happens, just to see the world burn. That's them.
Yeah. And so...
So I'm terrified to be trapped in a simulation with those people.
So that's the thing, right? So for me, same as you, I play them as kind of like myself, maybe a few alterations here and there. That's kind of the point. But I don't...
Yeah.
Apart from that one example, as I said, which I regretted, of wondering how many screaming in agony Carl voice lines there were, and there's a lot. Most of the time, I don't do that, but if I was in a sort of an ARC situation, I'm like, but is that forever? Or if I've been doing that for like literally 1,000 years, would I be like, I'm just going to try and kill everyone to see what happens? I don't know. Like, and then, as I said, you have that situation where... you would have to decide if it's over, right? Like, you'd have to be like, I'm bored now, which would be awkward.
Yeah. when I think about eternal life, or, you know, being immortal, like a vampire or something like that, for the longest time I was like, oh hell yeah, I want to do that, because A, I'm not ready to go, and B, there's so much that I'm, you know, my personal beliefs, and not to get too into that, but mm-hmm. I believe that when I die, nothing happens. I don't go anywhere or anything like that. That's it for me. Yeah. So when I think about dying or being an immortal, I think, oh yeah, that would be great, because there's so much that I'm going to miss, and I want to see kind of where humanity goes. But then the moment you throw in that I don't have the ability to end it when I want to, mm-hmm. it becomes very scary to me. Cause imagine being either an immortal or, a vampire or something like that, that cannot die. Mm-hmm. So all of humanity now dies out. The planet is like, you know, completely destroyed and, or, you know, explodes, and you're floating through space as like a head for all eternity. That would be awful.
The
moment it is for real forever, it bothers me. So the singularity, or the idea of being on the Ark, I find especially horrific. I guess the Ark is a little less horrific, because if something happens to you where you kind of go insane, they would probably just end that and then boot up a new copy.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, which is a little awful. It's awful to say, but to me that's a little less horrific, because each time the new copy would go through, you know, 40 or 50 years before they go crazy. So, you know, that's fine.
Yeah, that's the thing. Maybe that would be as okay as anything could be. It's like, yeah, it's fine. Like, the me that has the perception of what's going on has a pretty good time, and then it just stops.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, so maybe I could have my dream where it's just my dream, where it's just like the previous me goes, yeah, about here. That's probably about where you want to
exactly.
cut it.
That's what I thought of when you said that. I was like, wow, that would be insane.
Yeah.
But I think when I think about the singularity now, or, you know, the potential to upload yourself into a simulation where you can choose the time and the place, and, you know, you just kind of put yourself in there, it makes me uncomfortable, because I think about, a couple of months ago, I had this thought where, okay, well, what if I do upload myself into the singularity? And who's to say who becomes in charge of that virtual space? You know, I'm watching technology change, and, you know, everybody's changing to that monthly model, you know, where you charge monthly for your space, or, you know, whatever. And so what if all of a sudden I upload myself into this, what I think is going to be a virtual utopia where I can live forever. But guess what? It's not a utopia, because now there's currency in this world, and, you know, it's the same shit ever, you know, forever now. Mm-hmm. Now I don't have an end date. I have to pay rent on my virtual space. And what if I end up living in a shithole because I'm, you know, put up on the virtual singularity way early on, and, you know, I don't make as much, or, you know, whatever. There's like so many ways this could go horribly wrong. And so now I think about that, like,
imagine the data Google would have on you.
Right? And just like, oh no, it makes me really uncomfortable.
The funny thing is, all of that stuff, I should be much more bothered by it, but I don't know. Google actually is a good example for me. I've always just got on with their stuff and accept that I am the product. And when I've had some friends, quite rightly, you know, I'd never be like, oh no, you're wrong, because I understand it. They're like, oh, aren't you a bit worried about all this data they have and whatever? And actually, I'll be honest, most of the time I'm like, no, how do I give them more data? This thing here, I noticed it was wrong. How do I make it right?
Oh, God. What? Why?
Okay. Well, let's be honest. A bunch of it is privilege. Like, a lot of the stuff I might have to worry about, I just don't. It's not a concern of, you know, being doxxed or whatever. It's not a huge worry to me. And what my anonymized data doesn't get up, you know, gets up to or doesn't, I don't really mind. However, stuff like... You know what? This literally happened yesterday. I was looking up on Google Maps someplace that someone had mentioned, and I was like, I think I've been here before. And I clicked on Maps, and Google went, yes, you have, at this time.
Oh.
Here you are. And I'm like, oh yeah, cool. That I'll be honest, that's my reaction. No. I'm like, oh yeah, sweet.
Oh, no. Oh no.
I was there.
No, that makes me so uncomfortable. No.
The location thing's on my phone all the time, because I forget where I am. It knows, so then I can look, and I do. Like, when I was contracting, I could never remember which days I'd worked, so I just look at my phone and see where I was. But I completely understand why people aren't comfortable with that. Many people have more reasons to be uncomfortable with it than me.
Yeah.
And the one that I certainly cannot defend is that my data, you know, when anonymized and put with a bunch of other data, can be used to work out how to suggest things to people like me, which I don't like, but I will admit I have made my peace with.
It's like, at the cost of convenience, what are you giving up?
Yeah,
you
know? Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's funny. I realized the other day, like in my home office here, we use it for a bunch of stuff. And actually, it works for Soma, and I tried it briefly. But anyway, I've got some eye tracking stuff. So mm-hmm. So I realized that I'm sat here at my desk and I'm like, okay, well, what have I got here? Well, I've got my phone, so obviously can listen to me, and my eyes are being tracked, and I got a webcam, and there's a Google Home in here. So you got, oh, and also I've got a health monitor thing. So it's like, no one can put these all together yet, but if someone could access all those data points, you've got my heart rate as of this second, where my eyes are looking, everything is here. It's just not all together. So yeah. But at least at the moment, I have the option of I could unplug all these things or I could leave the room. But if I lived in an ark or whatever, you can't.
Yeah,
that's all. The harsh reality of who would actually own and run those things, yeah, would kind of take the edge off.
Yeah, I think that's also what bothers me about augmentation is the future of that is I always think, okay, yeah, but who, the hardware is great, but who runs the software? Mm-hmm. You know, like I don't want to update and brick my arm.
Exactly.
You know, changing to the new operating system and whatnot.
I find that's the thing that's frustrating as well. Like you see, obviously there's a bit of a revival of Cyberpunk and other stuff like that at the moment.
Yeah.
And the frustrating thing is, like, I find with so much of it is the opener is kind of like, it's like, what if corporations knew everything about you? It's like, they do.
They do.
And what if, like, for, you know, what if they're more powerful than the police? They are. And they no, try again. Like, these are already, you know, we already live in that.
Yeah.
And I find it funny as well in the last Blade Runner movie, they tried to sidestep it a little bit. It's just a throwaway line where it's like, oh, obviously all the old computers were destroyed and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, okay. So that's why Google isn't still here. And this is why you still have weird adverts for things that wouldn't exist.
Yeah.
But
my teacher, when I was, I think, maybe in eighth grade, I had a teacher that said, I forget what book we were reading, but it might have been Ray Bradbury, maybe a short story, something like that. And she had said, I know it's hard for you to conceptualize right now, and I will never forget this, but she said, the jobs that you are going to have when you're my age don't exist yet, and we are approaching an age of which information will be worth more than money, mm-hmm. or it will be like the greatest currency. And I remember thinking, you're fucking nuts. Like, this teacher is just, you know, crazy conspiracy theorist. And we all thought that. And then fast forward, it's like, wow, you were right. How did you see that? Yeah, it's crazy.
It's relatively minor, but it's something that I've only ever thought about once or twice. Like, the weird thing is, so when I used to work for other companies, like so I worked for Playground Games and worked on the Horizon games, so they're big open world racing games. But the weird thing about it is, I think we spent 18 months like intensively, think of it, like there's like hundreds of people clicking a mouse, dragging around a thing and building this thing that doesn't actually exist.
Wow.
But I've been there. Like, but it's not there. There's no such thing. You can't point to it.
Yeah.
And that happens just constantly all the time, which I imagine, I guess it's probably why it sucks some of the joy for me out of that kind of whole thought process. Because it's like, what if there's a virtual world? And it's like, yeah, I've made them. Like, I know what they're like. But it's basically what you're saying, right? It's like, as a, you know, obviously video games existed as I was a child, but not in the same way. And it's like, you know, the stuff I do for a living is like, basically, like, as you say, like nonsense. Like, you know, if you told this to a child, I mean, okay, maybe you go back slightly before I was born, but not much.
Yeah.
Like, you'd be like, an entire industry of people will just be moving around virtual objects in a virtual world for other people to use, and none of it's real. I mean, remember when the idea of like paying for a virtual item seemed insane?
Yes. Yep.
And now it's like, well, of course. You know, there's all the stuff like...
Especially if it's cosmetic. Like, you know, right. It's not going to affect my gameplay, but yeah, I want to look cool in this virtual space.
It's amazing that it works, but it does. So all of that, I mean, actually all of that stuff is, yeah, you know, kind of related, right? That's probably how they get money out of you in the Singularity version.
Oh, God, cosmetics. I know, right? Cosmetics for your virtual space, right? And of course you're going to pay it because you don't exist anymore. What if you, you know, like if the real you was still alive and you're also in this virtual space, maybe, but if you're the only one in that space, of course you're going to pay it because it's your life now.
Scary.
Ugh. Yeah, let's,
scary.
Yeah.
But anyway, so an answer to the question way back when, yeah, I don't know, like, if I was there and then, like those people were, you know, you basically know, well, everyone is dead and I'm going to die pretty soon. Why not? Like,
yeah.
Why not?
Why not? I think that would be my answer now. also. I think I'm just too curious. I think I would accidentally sign a deal with the devil, aka Google, to kind of like get in on that and just kind of see what it was like.
Yeah. But
yeah. I mean, I would probably regret it.
I often joke about, the boss of Valve, Gabe Newell, like, there's always this weird conundrum, like, I don't wish to be rude, right? But if you have more money than anyone in the whole world and you could take off as much time as you wanted... Well, actually, no, I think, and this is a personal thing I realized, right? If I was in his situation, yeah. right, I've got infinite money, essentially, and I can take as much time off as I wanted, I personally would be like, okay, I'm a little bit overweight, so I'm going to hire the world's best personal trainer and the world's best chef, and I'll take care of this. But he doesn't, and I'm like, that's fascinating. Why not? And I reckon he's just like, I'll just upload myself to Steam. Don't worry about this. It's fine.
Probably.
But it's just one of those things.
A lot of them do that, right? Like a lot of them think that. I think even Elon Musk came out and said that either we're probably in a simulation or we're going to be one day. And
On that note, thankfully, I've forgotten who the companies are involved, so I can't even accidentally get myself in trouble. But I was told in some little meetings a while ago, because, obviously... doing the whole indie thing, you have to find money, you have to find people in this lovely situation where they're like, I've got, actually it's exactly what you're saying, it's like, I've got too much money but I don't know what to do with it, and you can turn those things, so anyway, so meet a bunch of them,
make a game.
Exactly. It's a weird thing that which I've only just started to get used to. It's like, oh wait, I can, they have the money but I can do the thing with the money.
Okay. You have to like pitch them and convince them that they want to back your game, which must be so weird.
It's an eye-opening experience. But anyway, so I found out that so there's obviously a number of huge funding companies where it's all like, it's all fake money. It's all real, but you know what I mean? It's like paper money. It never really gets, it's never translated into actual wealth. And so they just fire it around at all these long shots. And one company that does this, a particularly big one, where it's like, you know, they're not signing stuff under like, you know, billions of dollars.
Yeah.
Apparently the one guy that manages the fund, he's a big believer in the singularity, and he goes out of his way to fund things which he think will further... the cause of the singularity.
Wow.
So maybe that's why he's just like, I'm fine with this. But if I had infinite money, that's day one, I'd be like, great, I'm never gonna have to cook again. I don't mind cooking, but it's like, if someone could just get perfect food for me, great. And I'm never gonna have to decide how to exercise again, just tell me how to do it, great. It's the dream. I'd love that so much.
That's also a dream. That's also a dream for me. Like, if I didn't have to have that constant worry of just like, you know, not that it's really a constant worry for me now, but I grew up, you know, in a pretty poor household. So I've carried that with me. So it's just kind of like, even though now I'm great and I have been for, I'd say 10 years now, it's still a constant pressure where I'm just like, man, wouldn't it be nice to just feel like I have infinite money and just not have to, it's just not even a concern, you know.
So hey, you're right, let's give the old arc a go, and then I can spend my time figuring out if I can kill myself or if I go
crazy. As long as there's a computer where I can hit erase at any point, I'm okay with it.
Erase the whole thing, or just erase parts that you don't,
just me. Yeah, so that I don't have to exist in it. If other people want to exist in that reality, sure, but I want to be able to end it at any time.
It's pretty scary, and I think that's the thing, like I said, like, I know what you mean. I do feel like the final scene, like in the fancy arc, kind of takes some of the, you know, sucks out some of the air in the room. I do like the way it presents you with that same questionnaire and you feel differently about it.
Yeah.
But I
was thinking about this when you brought that up. It would have been neat if it ends with Simon being like, you know, Catherine, please don't leave me here alone. And then right before the credits roll, it's just the questionnaire that you answer again. I would have just preferred not to see the arc at all.
I can see that, because I just love that shot of you know, the arc spinning over just a ravaged earth, and I was like, I've won, I think, is kind of
the
end. It's very well done, and the thing to me is, like a developer, that's interesting about it is it does things, because the thing is, because they're independent, right, they don't need to sell quite as much, they still need to sell quite a lot. I think to break even they needed to sell 267,000 copies, and they did.
That's insane.
But I mean, hey, put it this way, I don't know the exact figures, but you know, if let's say one of the Horizon games I'd worked on had sold that much, well, that company's over. Like, you need to sell like millions, you know. If you don't sell millions, it's over. So small numbers, but it means they can hit this exact target they're aiming for. Like, you know, they don't have to, it doesn't have to be twice as long because, hey, you know what? Yeah. I checked. It's about half the length of Isolation. It doesn't need to be twice as long. It doesn't
still sell well.
Exactly. It doesn't have any licensing restrictions. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't need to show this or that. These characters don't need to be in it. All of the voice actors you've not heard before. So it's not like, oh, it's that guy again. Oh, it's him again. Like, you know, it's not like Nolan North, who was for a time, he's kind of balanced out now, but he was in every game.
Yeah, I remember
so
that.
So, you know,
Prince of Persia, I think, was him. Yeah, it was just like everything.
Yeah.
It was Nolan.
It's not, you know, it's not his
fault. Which is not bad. Yeah, but, he's great. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, make hay and all that because it won't last forever. But yeah, so it's just perfect. They just, they you know, they had a very specific target in mind. As I said, I think his aim was to make something that, you know, stayed with you beyond the end of the game.
Yeah.
And it really does.
And he did it. He did that well.
Because, you know, if you were making some kind of, not generic, but, you know, more broad, you know, blockbustery type game, you can't have an ending like that. You can't have that kind of ambiguity. You know, the player needs to feel good about themselves. That's the fascinating thing about horror games, right? Like, you actively don't want that. You want to mislead people. You want people to feel bad, which normally goes against everything you never want to do. But that's why they're interesting.
I yearn for that kind of stuff. I appreciate when... And it's a scary risk because a lot of people will go, oh, I didn't like the ending because it was depressing. But I think it was just such a powerful game, leaving you wondering that if that's how it ended, you would walk away
like
from
that
it going,
are fascinating.
What?
Like, have you seen Ex Machina?
Yes. Yes, I have.
So obviously that's a fairly downbeat ending.
Yeah.
And I love it. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah.
I think that, and again, I remember I've watched that with some friends and I'm looking around almost literally like, you know, a little grin going, yeah, that's good, wasn't it? And they're like, no, but the other guy should have been okay and it should have been the good ending. And I'm like,
no.
You've completely misunderstood. In fact, that ties into what we're saying about all the Google stuff, right? Because that's it's not obviously the main thrust, but it's certainly in the mix that the main character, I forget his name, the guy who has been building these AI, he's kind of like, oh, I can just do whatever I want. I'm super smart. My solution is I do it and then worry about it afterwards. And then it's like, yep, and it killed you. Which is, it's not their literal mission statement, but the general gist of, you know, Google is, right, do it first, then see what happens.
Then see what happens,
And I love the fact that's what he did, and it killed him. And the other guy as well, I forget that he was kind of, he starts off kind of neutral, but then actually he's kind of not great either. And it's like, yeah, you know, I just think it's perfect. It's like, it's obviously very bleak and upsetting, but it's like, yeah, but you did that to yourself. Like, you allowed, you let that happen, and it's... in a way sort of correct that she murders
this is
you.
your consequence for your choice that you made.
It's great. I love that. And I can never mention that movie without mentioning, have you seen Annihilation?
Yes, I have, actually.
Yeah. Did you like it?
Yeah, I did.
Because again, that's, you know, it's pretty deliberately kind of vague in areas. And it's not like an upbeat ending either.
No. There was one particular scene that I keep mentioning to people who mention the film, because I think so far I'm the only one that's noticed it, but it's because I'm a photographer as my day job. Mm-hmm. So there's this scene in the beginning where I think you see the house prior to, and you walk up the stairs and the pictures on the wall are hanging in the same spot, and you realize that that's the same house. So the whole thing is part of her imagination, or part of her either simulation or imagination. Mm. Like that's her home that they are in when the crazy beast comes in and all of that. So it's been a while since I've seen it, but
interesting.
So I'll send you the info and the screenshots. Yeah, like, I'll see if I can find
it's interesting. I mean, I am very much aggressively a hobbyist, but I do some photography stuff, and sometimes I notice things of that type, but I didn't really notice it in that. But I'll be honest, actually, with that film, because it's embarrassing to say this, but this is probably actually the first time that I have, not to be cool or anything, I had read all the books way before the film was announced. So I was like, you know what? I don't want to pick. I'm going to lean back very deliberately, because as you said, like, often I've ruined games and everything else. I'm going to lean back. And I'm just going to let it happen. And it's great. I don't know. Have you read the books?
I have not, actually.
So the cool thing is, if you've got any interest, it's not the same.
Oh, I do. Oh, that's good. I like that.
Yeah.
It's different.
It's, you will recognize threads, obviously, and it's been sort of, you know, it's been reconstructed a little bit because there are three books, but it's all kind of, well, it's mostly into one film.
Yeah.
But it works really well. And that, again, has this great sense, which is in a lot of Soma as well, of just this particular kind of strange otherness. And like, it's not a malevolent entity, right? You know, all the weird stuff in the Annihilation film, or the weird sort of meshing of plants and humans and everything and the rest of it. It's not, there's no intent to be horrific and, you know, ruin humans or anything, but it happens. It's just kind of all blending together.
Which is actually, that's kind of the wow's the same thing. It's not maliciously trying to hurt you in Soma or humanity.
Yeah, that's the creepiest element to me. It's like all the time, anything in that game is happening, no matter how horrific it is, you know that on a sort of subconscious level, the wow's going, yep, doing a great job. Humans are alive. And you're like, nope. Not happening.
Oh, God, it's so good.
It's great. Oh, and there's one other thing as well. I'd forgotten about this. I probably should kind of wedge this in neatly, but I forgot. So the game starts with a Philip K. Dick quote. I don't actually remember the quote, but that's okay because it's not important. What's more important is, have you read his book, Ubik or Ubik or however you want to pronounce
it? I have. Oh my God, that's the only one I haven't read yet. I've read everything else. I've been working my way through his work and I haven't read that one yet.
Okay. Well, I won't spoil it at all.
Okay.
But the cool thing about it that it kind of, I think, to be honest, I think he does this fairly often, but it's very masterful and reminds me of the open of Soma versus the rest of the game, is you're reading it and you're going, yeah, okay, right, okay. You know, you're following it and you're like, it seems to be putting down all these anchors. And you're like, right, yeah, okay, so it's probably, the whole book's probably going to be about how this person does this and the rest of it, and then it goes, nope,
like, not at all.
And then you go, what the, like, and it just completely changes, and you think, okay, yeah, all right, you're gonna sort of go around here and you're gonna come back. It never does. And it's the same with this. Like, I felt, you know, the first time I played it, I was like, okay, maybe we're going to dovetail back into real Simon, or, you know, maybe something.
Yeah,
will come
or
back.
The accident, or like this whole thing is actually the simulation that the doctor was doing.
Right. And I wondered
that's
if
what I thought.
They were going to do some fourth wall breaking stuff, because I really like the way that when you first load the game up, it's playing like what I think are, I'm not a doctor, but I think it's like the MRI scanning noises or some kind of medical.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, so is this, am I already in? Like, is this part of it? And
this is all the simulation to see like what the cure is.
I think that's all just part of the misdirect, right? Because you're just clinging on, you're like, maybe everything is fine. And that's, I mean, again, not everyone feels this way, but it sounds like we're on the same wavelength. I really like the way that you get to experience that sensation, that emotion. You're like, maybe everything is fine, I'm just clinging on, and the end of the game is like, it's definitely not. But
dude, this you kind of blew my mind just now, because remember earlier we were saying, I don't understand why Simon doesn't think, you know, doesn't realize he's not daft, but he must just be purposefully misleading himself. Well, it made me think what you just said. What if you realized everything, you know, was a simulation, or that you were putting people into simulations to get passcodes? Is it so hard to believe that you're in a current simulation right now, and that if you just waited out, something might happen, or that there is still a Simon somewhere? So I would probably then in that instance cling to that hope, or purposely allow myself to be misled, thinking that, you know, maybe.
As I said, I genuinely hadn't realized until we started discussing it, but the way he interacts with a woman whose name I forget, who thinks she's already in the Ark, actually
I forget
makes
her
me
name
think
too, which makes
that
me bad.
He does actually, on a level, he does kind of know what's going on, but he doesn't really want to deal with it. And I think the whole thing at the end, which I remember the first time I played it, just really frustrated me. But it worked, because I felt exactly the way Catherine did. Do you remember? He's like, okay, we did it. Yeah. Hey, why am I still here? And she's like, oh, you idiot. I've told you this like three times.
Yeah, I've told you.
And I felt just like her. I was just like, oh, come on. But I think he's just, you know, he's now dealing
with
the fact. He's like,
yeah,
don't think about it. Don't worry about it. Last time, you know, the character we're following, you know, last time I was the lucky one that, you know, had the coin toss, I made it. Just don't think about it. And then he's like, oh no, now I have to, and I'm here forever. Which is,
I think it's funny, because there, I don't think the coin toss thing is real, obviously. I think she just says that to kind of
totally
calm him down a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, but I find it interesting that we wake up, you know, each time in the new body. So it's kind of like we're going through the whole experience.
Yeah, that,
but
again, once you get started on this, again, it's by design, right? You roll back, it seeps back into reality. And I forget, there's a certain age, right, where the rate that your cells are dying exceeds the rate that they're being created, right? So you kind of go, yep, so the me I am now is literally not the me I was whenever. But then you just find that your brain's just like, well, this is fine. I mean, actually, that's the thing. Like, again, I don't know a lot about it, but there's bits and pieces enough to sort of get the feeling of it, right? Is that you realize that your brain just is kind of, you know, just trying to keep everything coherent. Doesn't matter if it's correct, just got to be coherent. And so, you know, the obvious example of with your eyes, right? I forget why, doesn't matter why, but technically, right, everything's upside down, but your brain flips that around.
Yeah. So that you can comprehend.
So already, right? You go, well, already what I'm looking at, you know, I'm looking around this room now, it's not, you know, native, it's not correct, it's flipped.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's same for everything else, you know, when people think they hear things and they don't, and they,
And then your eyes will actually like fill in a certain part too of what they think is supposed to be there.
Yeah, that is fascinating.
So those tricks that you can look at where you can, you know, oh man, that stuff bothers me.
Yeah, exactly. And then you look at that and then you just go, but you have that moment, right? We're like, oh, well, I can't trust these. And then you go, but I've got nothing else. So,
but why is that so horrifying then? You know, what is it about it not being real that bothers people so much?
I think if it,
and I don't know if we can answer that, but
hey, if I can answer that, I think it'd be very, very wealthy. But I think it just, at least to me, it feels like, again, like it just, you know, your brain just kind of wants to keep trucking along, right? It's got this, it doesn't want to concern itself with those things, you know, you know, the whole nature of existence and the rest of it. And hey, if you go for a day, you don't have to think about it. And then when you do, you're like, yeah, it's not that helpful. I think there's a name for it. I can't remember what it is, but sometimes like when I'm struggling to sleep, you know, when you have that, just that weird sensation where you're like, I'm just me, but then you have that moment where you're like, I'm not, I'm just a bunch of stuff that's connected together, you know, like a brain and a heart and all these pieces. And then I can't sleep because I'm just like, no, I have to just be a solid object. And then, you do the thing where, you know, you gaze over at your cat and you're like, you've got it lucky. You're probably not thinking about this.
Yeah, you're not thinking about any of this. So I'm going to tell you something that I don't think I've ever shared this with anybody, but I have actually out loud said, if I am in a simulation right now, please end that, because I don't want to be in a simulation forever, or find some way to tell me if this is a simulation and I will wait, and then nothing happens, obviously. But because if I was in a simulation, they would want to see, you know, obviously what's going to happen. But I have called out to the void to be like, is this a friggin' simulation? Because if it is, I don't know if I want that.
Was that any particular pivotal moment, or were you just bored?
I was bored. Right. Well, I think it was a mix of boredom and probably when I first started exploring the idea of, you know, the holographic universe, and maybe I'm not really existing, I'm just in a simulation. And I thought, well, you know, what purpose would I be serving in a simulation? And then the thought that I'm really just peripheral, you know, I'm not a big hero or something, you know, I'm just kind of like simulating, you know, what society would be like if this or if that, because the idea that I'm simulating a time so that people can study it is kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. But the idea that maybe they just said, what would happen if we elected Trump, you know, like, or Brexit, you know, all this like crazy stuff. It's like, what would happen if this? I just want to see what happens. I don't want to be in an experiment like that.
Hey, there's certainly a lot of evidence recently where you're like, this doesn't seem like a thing. Doesn't seem like a thing. Yeah. No, I mean, you're right. There is a lot of interesting stuff going on in that space where you're like, it doesn't seem like all these things really could happen.
But, well, I just don't want to be in somebody's game, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's weird.
No, that
yet
makes
I'm
sense.
Fascinated with them, and I will play them. And, you know, if one day I find out that, you know, games have, you know, characters in games feel things, oh my god.
I think it's funny. It has, like, as I'm sure you're aware, it has probably one of the most problematic fan bases, but some of the stuff in Rick and Morty for that is great. Do you remember the one where they go into an arcade and he plays like a generic guy's name simulator? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just a little throwaway concept. I'm like, that's horrible. It's really horrible.
There's a Yeah, there's a lot in that game. I enjoy Rick and Morty, and I also really have been getting into BoJack Horseman the same kind of things.
I haven't watched a new one because I want to savor it, but also...
Oh, yeah.
I
won't say anything. Yeah, and people listening, I won't spoil any of it, but those shows appeal to me because they, you know, have the guise of comedy, but they're delivering really dark messages that speak to me.
Yeah, no.
Speak to my soul.
I completely get it. I think BoJack in particular is masterful at is like, you know, you'll literally be laughing at something and then when you're unsuspected, it will just punch you with something and you're like, that's not funny and I can't escape that. You know,
and I can't escape that. That is so true.
I just find the pacing. I just love the way where it's like they'll have some like silly, joke based on the fact they're anthropomorphized animals. Like some really silly throwaway joke and then you're like, ha ha ha, and then something really horrible happens and you're like, that's a real thing. Yeah, and so... Yeah, I think those things work really well. Again, but lots of people, you know, I say, I love those shows. And they're like, why? They're just so depressing. How can you like that?
Yeah.
And you're like, well, in a way...
I crave it, yeah.
Yeah, but there is an odd comfort to it. It's like, if I feel like this sometimes, so do other people. And it's an interesting thing to explore. And so, you know, same with Soma. Do I wish every game to be this bleak and dark and horrible? Absolutely not.
No, but it's important to have them.
Yeah,
it's important.
You know, the times I've played it, I have felt like, you know... Yeah, you know, you lose yourself in that character. In fact, hey, this all brings things around nicely. Another thing that the creative director goes on about a lot is this idea of, presence. And this was the term sort of before VR kind of took it over. But you ever stop and think how mad that is, right? So if you play any video game, after about, 5 seconds, you're like, this is me now. You don't think, I want to move, so I will move the controller and I will press the button. Yeah. You're like, no, I'm that. And that's crazy.
That is crazy.
That's insane. And I often find...
And Simon does that too,
Exactly. And I find at the moment, because,
ooh, that gives me chills.
Because, hey, being indie, I had to put them aside. But so I used to love driving, riding motorbikes and stuff all the time. And that's when I used to notice it happening. I'd be like, I'm not thinking about changing gear or moving around or, you know, on the bike in particular. Yeah. Like, I'm not thinking about moving my weight around or doing this or the other. It's just like, I am this. Like, I'm not... Yeah, and you realize how easily and how naturally that happens. Again, like your brain just kind of wants everything to go a certain way. And you're is any of this actually real? Does it actually matter?
Exactly.
And so
imagine if
it is crazy. Like,
because
I remember
better technology, you'd be like, you'd slide in instantly.
Exactly.
And then you wouldn't even be able to tell if you were in a game.
Because I remember, particularly, there's a couple of moments in Soma when I played the first time and in Alien Isolation where I was just so, like, in, you know, heart rate, everything, just intensely scared. And then I'd take a break and I'd be like, this is crazy. Like, I'm staring at a flashing box, you know, wiggling around some plastic things on my desk and I feel like I'm going to die.
Yep.
Why is this even possible? Like,
it's like every day of my life. I wonder why I get so immersed in games and why it just happens naturally. And sometimes I get annoyed with myself, you know?
Yeah,
like,
again, it's stuff they do a great job of. And it's stuff, you know, I joked right at the start, right? Like, oh, why do they let you go in the toilet? And it's part of that presence, right? It's like, because if you couldn't for no reason, you'd be like, well, why can't I go in here?
It would take you out. Yeah, it would take you out.
Again, you know, it's like, you can flush the toilet. You can lift the seat. Why?
Yeah.
Because if you couldn't, you'd just be like, this is weird. You'd be like, just like, you know, what's this
job?
It would
just remind you that it's a game, right?
Yeah, exactly. You'd be just like, you know, the guy in the simulator when I tried it. If you load it up in, like, you can load it up in nothing. And he's like, what's this? I don't like it. There's nothing here. And he's not very happy about it.
Exactly. So it's like, not to reference the Matrix again, but I'm gonna. It's like when they said they tried to make a perfect utopia, but no one was happy. It's the same idea, right?
Yeah.
Like, you can't have it totally perfect or people feel like something's wrong.
Yeah, it's interesting.
So,
I also noticed as well, it's like, so I remember that was definitely, I'm at the perfect sort of peak age for that. I had to lie about my age to go and see that in the cinema and everything. So it's very much in my developing period of time, that film and all the rest of it. And, you know, my initial read of that being like, yeah, I know a little about philosophy and I played all the video games. Okay, I'm cool with this. And a fact I hadn't thought about until very recently, and I feel very stupid about it, is obviously at the time, the two directors, I don't want to misspeak here, but the two directors were men. Right, and they're not anymore, either of them. So actually, a lot of the stuff in the Matrix, you can see this, you know what I mean? It's less about all fake fancy world and this. It's about, not being you, about being in different worlds and expectations, stuff like that. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's so alarmingly obvious but it smashed me over the head and I didn't notice it.
And I didn't notice it either, but I don't even know if they noticed it. I think they were just expressing
perhaps
what they were
not,
feeling.
But you can see it when
but
you know.
But yeah, now you can see it and you go, oh my gosh, you know, they felt trapped in,
in
something that wasn't theirs. Yeah,
it's fascinating. Mm-hmm. And actually, this does remind me of something in Soma, which, full disclosure, I cannot remember if they told me. Actually, I'm pretty sure they told me. I wouldn't be this smart to notice it. But so they throw a lot at you in Soma, obviously, and a lot of things for you to, you know, try and process. And obviously, lots of it has been well explored and chatted about, all the rest of it. But something I don't think, even now, because, hey, things have moved on, anyone's really, not necessarily, you know, written a huge blog post about, but raised an eyebrow about, is, so the first body you inhibit is female.
Yes.
And they just never mention it. Again, deliberately, they're like, well, if you want to think about this and process what that means or doesn't mean, you can, but you don't have to. So presumably, I mean, who knows how Simon, you know, from an objective perspective, who knows how he was actually speaking and moving? But the whole point is, to him, he considers himself just a man, but he absolutely wasn't. You know, even if you make the first leap and go, well, he's a human being, you're like, okay, but... Yeah, and again, I like the way it's not some heavy-handed, like, huge, this is the whole point of
this. And this is horrific, and you should feel horrified.
Right.
They literally just present it to you.
It's just like, hey, when you reach this
that
level...
That in itself is even horrifying.
Yeah, it's like when you reach this level of, like, oh, you know what, maybe none of this stuff matters. As in, like, you know, if I feel that I'm a human being, despite the fact I'm a bunch of goo in a suit, then why do people argue about the, you know, comparatively absolutely minor issues?
I think that they do. So the first iteration of Simon is an old body of a worker mixed with machine.
Yeah.
And then they progress to machine. So I felt like they did that purposefully to kind of just guide you through. Mm-hmm. Hey, you are still a human being, even if you're in a complete machine. So
yeah,
I thought that was interesting.
I think you're right, because I think it's that thing where they're sort of testing people. You go, okay, a human now? Yes. Okay, how about now? Yes. Okay, how about now?
Exactly. Like, you should still feel the same way. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's really good.
So I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. If people really enjoyed Soma, and they wanted to play two other games that you would recommend that made you feel the same way as Soma, or even just your favorite games that you would recommend, what would those be?
That is genuinely really hard.
I have at least one. I have two recommendations for you.
Mm-hmm.
Based on our conversation, I would recommend that you play Narcosis, if you've played that yet.
Have you
heard of that? Okay. I would recommend that you play that short, 4 to 6 hours, but I think you'll really like it.
Okay.
And then the second game would be Orwell. Have you heard of that one?
I've heard of it, but I've also not played it.
Okay. Well, I think that you would enjoy Orwell. Hopefully you can play those games and your game development background doesn't spoil anything for you, but
far enough
I think that you would enjoy those. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds good. I mean... I guess, actually, it's only in some ways, right? I think there's a similarity to Soma. Have you heard of a game called Paratopic?
I have not.
So I'll send you a thing over, but it's like a little... How long is it? It's probably in a couple of hours, like a little horror short thing.
Okay.
And the only way to say it's similar is that, it doesn't hold your hand or anything. It just lets you get on with it.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, it's...
Oh, my God. I'll play that right away. I get excited when people recommend me things I've not heard before.
No, it's really fun. I mean, it's obviously, because it's only a few hours long, it's so much more pacey than that. But I mean, for example, one of the most memorable bits of it I can remember is you're just driving down this like endless street in a car, and it goes on for, it's perfectly judged, it's kind of like just too long. And everything's just a bit creepy and awkward.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? It's not, it's absolutely, in the same way that Soma barely is, and is better to not be, not jump scare, it's just sort of off kilter, psychological. Yeah, it's fun. It's quite different, but I really enjoyed it, and I'm sure it's pretty cheap. So I'd definitely give that a go.
Yeah, that's a good recommendation. I will look into that. Well, thank you so much for being here on the show with me today. It was a pleasure talking to you. We talked for 2 hours, pretty much.
That good.
So this is probably, it's probably going to be a two-parter episode, which I sort of knew going into it. I just went, I love this game too much to try to keep it into 45 minutes. So we're just going to talk.
That's cool.
But would you like to tell everybody where they can find you on the World Wide Web? And,
that's a good question. I should know
what you got coming up. I mean, I know your Twitter at least, so I can hook people up with that in your current project.
Yeah, but I'm interested because one of the few curses I have is my name is incredibly common, so that was the best Twitter handle I could get.
It's awesome.
But try saying it out loud. How would you say it?
Oh, you're right. I'm not even going to try.
Yeah, you can't really. So it never.
I guess I would do CR Wilso, okay. Is how I would say it. Yeah.
I'll go with that. So yeah, that's CR me on Twitter. Primarily game dev. I fit neatly into a stereotype of game dev, cats, and obscure, god, scarily almost 20-year-old British comedy. That's me.
That's perfect.
Yeah,
that's
it perfect. Seems to work. So that, and yeah, I can't remember the address, but hey, our SEO foo is pretty strong. So the company I'm part of is Cardboard Sword, and the game we're working on is called The Siege and the Sand Fox.
So for those of you listening, I will link everything in the episode description, but if you are not checking that, it's CB_sword is the Twitter for the Cardboard Sword, and then Siege and Sand Fox is the Twitter for the current project.
You've done your homework.
Yes, I have. The Deep Dive Podcast is brought to you by PBTV, and you can find us at deepdivecast.com, as well as on Twitter and Instagram at deepdivecast. If you like what you hear, please consider rating and reviewing the show on iTunes. You can also become a patron of the show by visiting us at deepdivecast.com/support. Patrons receive various perks like monthly black and white wallpapers, high-quality versions of each episode, bonus episode content, and, of course, it's my favorite part, the knowledge that you, directly, are keeping the Deep Dive afloat. See you next time, divers. The Deep Dive Podcast is proudly part of the Geek Generation Network. For more podcasts about your favorite geeky things like games or your favorite shows, browse our whole library at thegeekgeneration.com.